Well, I wonder if you've ever been to Madame Tussauds in Baker Street, the famous waxworks museum. You can get up close with Wills and Kate. You can put an arm around Lewis Hamilton. You can pose with Barack Obama. But I think that my favourite statue in Madame Tussauds is the waxwork of a Chinese tourist, camera held to face, supposedly taking a picture of the Brad Pitt statue. It catches everyone off guard. They walk in front of the statue's camera and then they say, "Oh, sorry." And when they realise there's no reply, they think, well, maybe she's being a bit rude. And then you realise that it's just an inanimate object. It looks alive, but actually, it's lifeless. And friends, that is exactly the problem with the church in Sardis. They had a reputation for being alive. They looked like a healthy church, but spiritually speaking, they were dead. They were dead. When I visited this part of Western Turkey, there was really not much left of Sardis. I was about 1900 years too late. You can see it on the screen. But in its time, it was a major trade and traffic center, made wealthy by a gold-rich river running through. Sardis used to be the capital of the kingdom of Lydia until it fell to the Persian emperor Cyrus, and then later to Alexander the Great. And then there was a great earthquake in 17 AD, which pretty much flattened the whole place. So the Roman emperor Tiberius then rebuilt Sardis. So by the time of this letter, 1995 AD, it was a modern, new, healthy-looking city with the natural Acropolis towering above the lower valley. And just like the city, the church in Sardis too appeared healthy. They looked like they were worshipping God. They looked like they were living the life. There's no reference in this letter to church tensions or false teaching or persecution. It all seemed to be going swimmingly. But scratch one centimetre under the surface, and what do we get? Well, nothing much. Lifelessness. The church in Sardis looked alive, but actually, it was dead. In other words, there was a credibility gap between their reputation and the reality. And Christ says to this church, verse 2, "I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God." Ouch. Remember, verse 1, Jesus Christ knows. He knows because he's the one who holds the seven stars. That is, the seven angels that correspond to each of these seven churches. And that means that every congregation in every period of history is in the grip of the one who holds the seven stars, including us, Cambrai, in 2016. And he holds, too, the seven spirits, the sevenfold spirit, a reference to Christ's divine power over these seven churches. Now, in our ongoing Cambrai church review, we're needing to take into account, of course, what church members think of Cambrai, what Sunday attendees think of Cambrai, what those outside think of this church. But the only opinion that ultimately matters is that of the one who sees all that is going on, who really knows what's happening, the only one who can truly say, verse 1, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." That was what Christ said to the historic church in Sardis. that the book of Revelation is, of course, painting on a bigger canvas here. Is that what God is saying to us today? I remember a long time ago, back when I was at school, we had the whole school photograph that happened every 5 years. And so we needed to get all 700 boys, plus the teachers, arranged onto some temporary stands. The trouble was, it took so long to assemble everyone, class by class, that by the time we were nearly ready, those who were standing at the back were getting pretty tired and claustrophobic. And just as we were ready to take the first photo, after an hour of setting up, one guy at the back, a sixth former named Metcalf, he suddenly fainted. Now, if that happened today, in our world of ever-increasing health and safety awareness, they'd probably stop the photo and they'd call an ambulance. But what actually happened gives you a great insight, I think, into both our school and particularly the deputy headmaster. "Sir, Metcalf's fainted. Well, will you tell Metcalf to stop fainting, please?" "It's too late, sir." "Well, there's nothing we can do about it now, boys." "But he's unconscious, sir." "Never mind that. We're ready to start clicking, boys." "But, sir, he can't stand up." "Now listen. We've spent an hour setting up this shot. I'm not going to stop just because Metcalf has decided to drop out of consciousness. Now prop him up." And that's exactly what happens. So in the school photo, there appears to be 700 smiling boys, happy, looking into the camera. But if you look very carefully along the back row, there's Metcalf, white as a sheet, being propped up on the boys either side, lifeless. Okay, a little insight into my school, but there's a serious point. Is this church a bit like that photo? Everything appears to be okay, but look a little bit more closely, and there's no life. All too easily, this church, indeed any Western evangelical church, can simply be a form without power. It can be a name without substance. It can be a facade without reality. It can be a series of committees endlessly talking about how we organize ourselves without any real kingdom life. Well, a graveyard is well organized, isn't it? Is there life there? Are we, Cambrai Baptist Church, like the church in Sardis, which appeared healthy? They'd made a name for themselves as a large, successful Bible-teaching town centre church with a long and honoured tradition of good leadership, lots of groups, lots of things going on, busy with activity. But really, they were dead. It shows, doesn't it, that good organisation and planning can easily keep programmes going. Once a midweek meeting is established, it can continue by habit and routine alone. But it doesn't count for anything unless it is filled with the life of Christ. A dead church doesn't necessarily mean a dull church, or a heretical church, or an unappealing church. But here it does mean a church with an illusion of spiritual vitality. And by Christ's reckoning, at this church in Sardis, there was no real seeking God, no real prayerfulness, no real life of desire for God, no life of devotion. People didn't really have a relationship with God outside of Sunday mornings. The church as a whole were hypocrites. They were pretenders. And even if we can't always see hypocrisy, Christ can. John Lennon's son, Julian, from his first marriage before he went off with Yoko Ono, used to be scathing of his father for ignoring him. I'm not sure if the name of this album, Say You're Wrong, is a reference to his father or not. But listen to what he says. "I cannot listen to the song Imagine without imagining how things would have been if only Dad had not ignored me and abandoned Cynthia, that was his mum. To the world, he was a hero, but to me, he was just a hypocrite. Let me ask us all, including myself, a really difficult question. Does Christ regard us as hypocrites? Do we have a Sunday self and a real self? Do we look spiritually alive, but actually we're dead? Do people around us, outside of church, know that we are Christ followers? Do we live as Christians every day of the week? And even in church, are we just mouthing the prayers and goldfishing the songs and our hearts are not really in the right place, thinking more about things we'd like to complain about rather than seeking the living God? Well, maybe you identify with that. If that is us, if that is me, Christ, through his letter to the church in Sardis, wants to give us something of a reality check by asking us, verses 2 and 3, are we awake or asleep? Awake or asleep? If we're asleep, we're told to do three things. Wake up, strengthen, and remember. First, verse 2, wake up. The metaphor changes from death to sleep. If you're spiritually asleep, wake up and realize your spiritual complacency. Christ's asking us to see things as they really are. The city of Sardis itself, thought of as impregnable against marauding armies, had in fact twice through history been captured by the Persians and then the Greeks. And on both occasions it was by stealth. The city became complacent, trusting in their army, and so not placing soldiers on their watchtower walls. That spirit of complacency had crept into the church. And Christ says to them and to us, wake up and see the reality. Cambrai, take a long, hard look at what you're doing and why you're doing it. Because it seems that at the moment, God's glory and God's grace have moved from the center. Have we stopped doing his work in his way? Wake up and recognize the reality. Because Christ will come like a thief when you least expect him. This is probably not talking about the second coming, which is also described like a thief in the New Testament. Because here the coming depends on the church's refusal to repent. Instead, it's saying that Christ is like the fire alarm that goes off in the middle of your staff meeting. You just weren't thinking it would happen that day. Has that ever happened to you? You're engaged in some important meeting and then out of nowhere, no warning, the alarm goes off, a complete surprise, a wake-up call. So wake up, open your eyes and be ready. Stop sleeping spiritually. See the reality. But second, again, verse 2, strengthen what remains and is about to die. The little you have left, reinforce it, or literally nurture it. This is true for us as individuals and true for us as a church. To combat spiritual lethargy, reinforce what we do have. How can we strengthen what we have as a church? Well, this is where it gets personal. We all have a part to play in strengthening Cambrai. Here is one practical suggestion. Every week, take the initiative to do one thing to encourage someone in this church. Say something positive to them at the end of this service. Maybe phone them, visit somebody, send an encouraging email. Another suggestion is to pray for Cambrai as a church and as the sum of its individuals, that we'd be strengthened by God himself. That's the Ephesians 3 prayer. We ask God, praying for his strength for his church, strengthen what we have. And of course, we strengthen Cambrai not purely by navel-gazing and trying to fix every internal problem, but we strengthen Cambrai by being outward-looking, witnessing, inviting, speaking of Christ to the outside world. One commentator put it like this: a dynamic minority of awakened and responsible Christians is able to pray, love, and witness, both to preserve a dying church from extinction and to fan its flame into a fire. Strengthen what remains. So Christians who are asleep should wake up, strengthen, and verse 3, remember what they have received and heard, obey it and repent. Memory is presented here as a precious gift. Why is that? Because the shortest road to repentance is remembrance. That is a kind of spiritual back to basics. It's not saying, remember the good old days when Sardis or Cambrai was in its golden age and we did things properly, things were happening. It's apparent that golden ages only exist in the past. No, it's not saying that. It's saying, think back to when you first became a Christian, what you received and what you heard. Obey that and repent. Remember the thrill of the gospel, the life-giving power of God, the miracle of irreversibly changed lives. Remember, your sin is forgiven. Remember the first time you realized the presence of God in your life. Remember how you first received the apostolic truth passed down from Jesus to you. Remember again the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn around and obey him. And remember, hinted at in verse 1 and 6, the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer when we repent and believe, in order to help us live the Christian life. Maybe there's some of us here who do need to remember that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, if you are a Christian, convicting you of sin, guiding you into truth, reminding you of all that God is and all that he has done for us. Remember the Spirit. Be reminded of what we have received. So if we're asleep, not awake, wake up, strengthen, remember, obey and repent. A lot of challenge, a lot on our spiritual to-do lists, or rather our spiritual to-be lists, by the Spirit's help. So dead or alive, asleep or awake. Finally, few or many. There is, as there has always been throughout the history of God's people, a faithful few. A righteous remnant, verse 4, who have not soiled their clothes, who are not caked in mud after a rugby match on a wet day, who are not dirty and defiled with sin. Rather, they are those who walk with Christ, dressed in white, which features throughout the book of Revelation as a picture of the redeemed, the pure, clothes of righteousness, worthy overcomers, along with the white stone, the white cloud, the white horses, and the white throne. What a beautiful picture that is of Christ's reward for those who do turn to him. Clean white clothes. Maybe the pure white of the Roman toga is in mind. And clean garments mattered in Sardis. The wool trade was a big earner, and there were laundries everywhere. The idea of clean clothes certainly rang a chord. Of course, ultimately, it's Christ who makes us white, not our own good deeds. Chapter 7 of Revelation speaks of those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, their robes made white in Christ's blood. What an image that is. And it's those very people whose name will never be blotted out from the book of life, but will be acknowledged before his Father and his angels. Verse 5. Did you know that God has a book? It's actually more like a register in heaven. It's sometimes called the Lamb's Book of Life, or the Scroll of Remembrance. In short, it's those who truly belong to God, those who are saved and so are serving him. Imagine the scene when Christ welcomes you into what he calls his eternal dwellings. Christ himself calls out your name. Colin, yes, sir. Rachel, yes, sir. Warwick, yes, sir. Jill, yes, sir. And then Christ turns to God in all his throne room glory, surrounded by angels upon angels, and says, "All present and correct, my Father." Don't you want to be on that register on that great and final day? Don't you want to be acknowledged rather than ignored before the Father, as Jesus warned in Matthew 10? How sad it will be to be on a church's register, but not on God's register. You need to be right in your relationship with God to be on that register. You need to be sure before you leave this place today that you have been attired in the white clothes of Jesus' righteousness, his forgiveness for sins for you upon the cross, his rescue of you through his death and resurrection, if you trust in him. But perhaps there is another challenge here for us. Even if the church in Sardis was dead, that didn't mean that there were no true believers there. Despite the church's corporate failure, there were still a few true believers who didn't split to form the true church. They didn't go off in a huff to Ephesus or Philadelphia, but they remained the faithful ones, the alive amongst the dead, we could say, the clean amongst the unclean. We are encouraged here not to be a church where it's the few who are clean, but the many, as each takes personal responsibility for placing their full confidence in Jesus. You can be in an alive church and not be a Christian. Equally, you can be in a dead church and be a true believer. Any church will help to a degree and hinder to a degree. We are each responsible for our own spiritual progress before God. And that means ultimately we can't blame the church for our personal failure of not trusting in Jesus and growing closer to God. Even if the church, this church, any church, is not perfect. Chuck Colson wrote in one of his books, "The church is like Noah's ark. The stench inside would be unbearable if it wasn't for the storm outside." So through the ups and downs of church life, we are each personally responsible to be amongst the few and together to make the few the many. Faithful believers made right with God through his forgiveness on the cross. Dressed in white, overcomers, acknowledged by the Father and his angels. As we come into land, maybe this morning has been a bit of a reality check for some. Are you truly spiritually alive? Or for years have you just appeared to be? And together, as a church, is our spiritual pulse beating in harmony with what God says and what God wants at all times? Or do we not have time for God's life because we need to press on with our programs of proud religious busyness? Without God's life, we have nothing and we are nothing. But with Christ at the center, life, vibrancy, kingdom power. How is God calling you this morning to wake up, strengthen, and remember? Are you amongst the faithful remnant, the few dressed in white, saved by Jesus himself? Or do you need to be made right with God? Well, whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, even today. Let's pray together. A moment of quiet as we consider what the Lord is saying to us this morning. Lord, you know all things. You see all things. You see who we present ourselves to be on a Sunday morning. You see who we really are the rest of the week. You see what no one else sees. You know all our secrets. All is laid bare before you. Help us to have as much an idea of reality as you do, even as we recognize your sovereign will and your sovereign power over this church, that we are responsible to you and responsible for our salvation, whether or not we've trusted in you, our rescuer. And Lord, those areas of our life in which we do need to wake up and strengthen and remember, Lord, please help us by your Spirit's power. Thank you that despite our sin, you do not take your Spirit from us. But when you see us, if we are yours, you see the white clothes of righteousness placed upon us by the Lord Jesus Christ. But may that not lead to a complacency or spiritual lethargy. May it lead to serving you, the grace that saves us. May it help us to serve you too in fullness of faith so that your kingdom may come and your will be done as we've just sung. We pray this, not that Cambrai may be elevated or glorified, but that your kingdom might be glorified and that you might be praised and worshipped for who you are. In your name and for your kingdom we pray. Amen.